الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله
The topic that we are discussing is Karbala, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we mentioned to you that Karbala, as an event in the history, happened about 1400 years ago, and it's in the past. But the lessons of Karbala exist today, and they will also exist tomorrow. Till eternity, humanity will be able to learn and achieve greatness through the event of Karbala. One of the lessons that we're going to discuss today is the lesson of sacrifice. Sacrifice in Arabic comes in different words, but the meaning we will go into explanation, it comes in the meaning of Qurban. There are many words in Arabic that we use on our day-to-day basis, but we haven't taken the time out to go into the details or the meaning of them. And if we go into the detail and meaning of those words, the religion, the information that you have inside of your minds, you would have a different perception. For example, this one word we use a lot, which is maybe not a lot, but we use the word mihrab. If somebody could tell me the meaning of mihrab, the ones whose language is obviously
from Harb.
And Harb means
war.
And mihrab means the place of war or battle. So when we say that the Imam Jamaat is standing in the mihrab, what we are saying is that the person leading the prayers is standing at the place of battle or war. And the people that are following the person leading the prayers are following him in a battle or war. And this battle or war is against shaitan. It is against the lowly desires of humanity. It is against sins. Because the effect of that war is that salam is able to finish, annihilate all that is munkar and fahsh. That is, it is able to annihilate and finish everything which is bad, evil, or something, fahsh, something without a purpose. And when that salah is done properly, the individuals come out with the strength not to commit any evil, bad, and not to get involved with those actions that are without purpose. When you look at mihrab that way, your salah has a different picture in your mind now. Yes or no? When you look at salah, Now you will not be looking at it as a ritual, as a custom, as a feature of your religion, but you're looking at it in the light that it is something that you are doing together. And when you're doing this together and you are led by one individual, you're able to overpower any evil or act without purpose. And if you just keep that in mind and keep going in your mind and trying to understand, you would have so many doors that will open. You are the shiraz of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Honor your shiraz. I'm sure there are some that are true shiraz. But Imam used to say that when the Prophet would explain one thing, there will be 1,000 doors that would open for me from the explanation of one thing. So, if mihrab, explanation of it for the Shia, honorary or real Shia, if not 1,000 doors, at least 4 or 5 should open. Imam, he said, you say the word? Imam. What is my question now? Natural thing to ask you now is, what is the meaning of Imam?
Leadership.
Leader, rahbar, no. We're looking at the linguistic meaning of Imam. No.
Center?
No. No, I don't think you would get that. If you read it loud, salawat al.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Nare Hadri!
Imam, the meaning of it, I'll give you as an example. You see, the walls that you're on, that are around you, they were built. And when the person that was building these walls had an instrument which told the person building the walls if the walls are straight. If anywhere while building these walls were getting crooked, that instrument will tell the person making the walls that the wall is now crooked, so that you can fix the walls and make them straight. In the old days when the masons, we're not talking about Freemasons, we're just talking about right now. Masons.
Mystery.
So the people who used to make walls, what they would do is, they will have a string that will be attached on the top of the wall. To find out whether the wall is crooked or not, they would have a string attached on the top of the wall, and in the bottom they would have a weighty thing. And they would lead the string that way, and then the string would fall according to the laws of gravity in a straight line. And when it would fall through the laws of gravity in a straight line, they were able to see if the wall is crooked or not. So in reality, Imam is that instrument that makes sure that if the Ummah is going astray or crooked, to make sure that this Ummah comes back in its place.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Give you another example, because we are living in the time where maybe this example will be okay for the people who are in the time of those where people used to use brick and cement.
Right.
In North America where you live, it's not bricks and cement, it's actually wood and paper. So the houses of the North America or developed countries are actually made of wood and paper, and wood and paper is very susceptible to fire and winds. But if the houses that are made in the developing countries, they're made of brick and cement, and those houses are not sustained, they are not affected by fire or wind. Give you another example, Imam in today's time could be said to be the GPS. You've seen the GPS?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you an example that will make you understand this word better. The GPS has all the information that you require to go from A to B. And all you have to do is tell the GPS where you wish to go. Once you've inputted that information into the GPS, now all you do is just follow what the GPS says. And if you follow exactly what the GPS says, you will go from A to B, the route that you did not know. That you did not know, it will take you from A to B without any difficulty or problems. And if you make a wrong turn, it will recalculate and let you know how to come back to the straight path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please guide us on the straight path, and this is the path of those people that you have blessed. This is not the path of those people who have become worthy of your wrath, or the ones who are gone astray. Who can do that? Who can take you from the path of the ones worthy of the wrath of Allah, or the ones who have gone astray? There is only those beings upon whom Allah has placed blessings, who are the personification of an'amta alayhim. They are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with all of the information that is required for humanity to go from asfal as-safilin to a'la aliyin, from the animalistic side to the highest levels of spirituality and perfection, are none others than the Ma'sumeen alayhi salam that you believe in.
Nara salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
They are the pure and the perfect and the infallible, that do not make mistakes, that know how to take one from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. The problem is where? The GPS is saying turn right, we turn
left.
Now the GPS tells us, now that you've turned left, now turn right. What we do?
Left.
We turn
left.
Once we've turned left, the GPS says turn right. What do we do? Turn left. Then the GPS says go straight. What do we do?
U-turn.
Go back.
Illegal U-turn. Illegal.
And even though a person could have the most perfect, infallible GPS, but if the individual is not following the directions of the GPS, that person will never, ever be able to reach the destination that the person has inputted. Never. This person will be able to get to the destination which the person has inputted. And then there are those GPS. Now, depending now, it is up to you. which destination you want to go. Some people put the destination of hell. I would like to go to hell. And those GPS are different. The GPS that takes you to heaven are different. The GPS that has all the information necessary to take you to hell are different. And you know what? Those people who want to go to hell, they follow every single direction of that GPS. They will follow every single direction of that GPS, but the ones who input the address of heaven do not want to follow the directions of that GPS. When Imam used to say, let's go. Let's go to the battle. They would say, oh, it's too hot. Let's go, it's too cold. Yep. Right now, we need to make sure our lands are cultivated and so forth. Let's wait for that and then we will go. And to the point where Imam said to Allah, oh Allah, take me out of these people. Take me out of these people. I have become tired of them and they have become tired of me. And put a person, a hakim, a leader upon them by which they will be able to realize the worth of my government. In the 4 years and 9 months of the government of Imam Ali alayhi salam, there was not a person left who was poor. To the point where the person would have to go to sleep without food. If that government of Imam Ali alayhi salam was today, you will not find a person going to sleep hungry. The only reason why we have more than 1 billion people living on $1 a day or 169 million people living on 50 cents a day. The reason is that the system or the government which is implemented is the government of liberal democracy. And in the government of liberal democracy, you will always find the people who would have to go to sleep hungry, because there are other individuals who are using 80% of the resources of the world. And you will find inequality. You will find people homeless. You will find more and more tent cities. You will find more and more that all around the world the poverty will increase. To the point where they will need not enough food. To the point where there will be not enough shelter. And the world will be surrounded by this poverty. The world will be surrounded by this injustice. And the world will be surrounded by inequality. And you're saying, oh yes, we are talking about the developing countries. Our turn is coming. You see, this is an example for the older slash younger. I mean, a woman never gets old, right? They're always young. In spirit. But they're young in spirit for the obedience of Allah. We take it in a way that mu'min is always young, yani, keep in the love and la'ab of this dunya. Chakki. Have you seen it? There is an instrument which was used in the old days to grind flour, like to grind the wheat into flour. It's called chakki. What it would be is two round stones that were put together and a hole on top of those round stones where the wheat was placed, and one by one this wheat would fall in between the two stones, and this would get, these stones would be moved by hand like this, and the grains of wheat would get into flour and the flour would fall. Now our condition is like those grains of wheat on top of the the grains of wheat that are being falling, they are falling in middle of those two
stones.
And those grains of wheat on top are saying, only those ones in the bottom are the ones who are going to become flour. We on the top, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But what they're forgetting is that as these bottom wheat grains are falling in the middle of these two stones, their turn is also coming. So, we say, any imam we also use for example, there are people who will say something like, you know, don't call Imam Khomeini. Rahmatullah, let's just say Ayatullah Khomeini. Imam, the term Imam, the word, if you look at the linguistic meaning of that, he was that individual that made sure that if the Ummah was going astray or crooked, that he would advise, do Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi Munkar, so that this Ummah would become
straight.
We received a call. There was a lady on the other end of the phone. My wife picked up the phone and she said, I would like to speak to Imam Hassan. My wife was shocked. You want to speak to whom? I'd like to speak to Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan, you're calling in the right. So yeah, I'm looking for Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan Mujtaba al-Dhabi. My wife said, okay, just hold the line, let me get the Imam. So, she said, there's a person looking for you. I pick up the phone, Salaamu Alaikum Imam Hassan. How are you? Alhamdulillah, fine. Thank you very much for this and this and this. And now this lady on the other end was actually calling from Indonesia, and she happened to be one of our Muslim sisters, where in their culture and the way that they will address a Maulana, they will say Imam. Now she did not know that we only call Imam who is the 12th Imam. So she said, Imam. This word Imam we are using in our Aqidah for also the 12 Imams, also for the person leading the prayers. If as someone who's leading the prayers, otherwise you should not call Imam. If it is only specified for the 12, then you should not call Imam. What should you call? The person who stands in front of us. Pesh Namaz would be in Farsi or in Urdu. Pesh Namaz. So that the heart of the people standing behind him would be at ease. We're not standing in front of Imam and Jamaat, we're standing in front of Pesh Namaz. You call him by whichever name that you like, the status of him does not go up or down. But if you start making an argument on that, that it is specifically for the 12 Imams, then we can't use for anybody. So in reality, the word Imam is not necessary. If you pick up the books of fiqh, you will find Imam Jamaat. You won't find Pish Namaz. None of the Aima alayhi salam used Pish Namaz, they used Imam Jamaat. And if Imam was supposed to be only for the 12, none of the Imam and Muslim would have used it for Pish Namaz. So, we use quite a few different words that we're not very much clear about. But there's another word called Qurban. Or Qurbani, and this is what we're going to discuss if you recite aloud.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bhai ji ka salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Qurban, in English we say sacrifice. Qurban actually means, okay, if I was to ask you, this is what you would say, right? In response, sacrifice, nobody else has any different meanings, right? In their mind? So Qurban or Qurbani is?
Sacrifice.
What about Qurbatan ilallah? Do you say that or no? Qurbatan ilallah. If you say Qurbatan illallah, the meaning changes actually. Qurbatan ilallah means that I seek qurb towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek nearness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say qurbatan illallah, it means I seek nearness to everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of the times, this is what we are doing. We say qurbatan illallah, but what we mean is qurbatan illallah. We're saying that I read salah qurbatan illallah, but what we are thinking, what we mean is, I am reading salah qurbatan illallah. Yani, I will be able to gain nearness to the wallet that I lost. I will be able to gain nearness to the keys that I've lost. I will be able to gain nearness to the job that I was not able to complete 9 to 5. But I will not get nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a person in the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And this person, you know, made a promise that I will read 2 rakat namaz only and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made a promise. So he starts his salah, he says, Allahu Akbar. As he says, Allahu Akbar, what he sees that in the haram of Imam Ali al-Sultan, there is a flower bouquet that was made by Dutch or plaster, and one of the flowers was actually broken. Or 2 or 3 of the flowers were actually broken. So as he says, Allahu Akbar, and he sees that bouquet of flowers, the thoughts that start, because by profession he was someone who used to make those things. So he says, you know, if I use that grade of gutch, this I could do, and if I use this color of green, this would match the other flowers, and if I do this, this will do this, and this will do that. By the time he finished the 2 rakat prayer, he was able to finish that bouquet of flower, but there was no nearness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was another person, he says, you know, he read salah, and then afterwards, he says to the servant, you know, the wallet that I lost, I just remembered where it was. Can you go get it from there? And the servant replied, were you reading salah or trying to find your wallet? So qurbatan ilallah, that we seek nearness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qurb is the root word of qurban or qurbani, which means nearness. And qurban is that vehicle that takes you near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu bulan salawa.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Why are you so tired today?
Bhai diga salawa.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Hadri. Hadri. Hadri.
So imagine that, let's say A, you are, and B is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just for example's sake. So A is you and B is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now to get from A to B, you need a vehicle. Right? You need a vehicle to get you from A to B. And that vehicle, that car, or whatever they use for that is called qurbani. That vehicle that you use to go from A to B, A meaning where you are and B meaning where Allah says, so qurbani is actually that vasila, that medium that takes you towards Allah. Now with that meaning in mind and the few words or sentences I said to you in the beginning, now try to process the information you have in your mind. When you process the information, you'll find out that salah is actually qurbani. Salah is that vehicle that takes you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find that fasting is that vehicle that takes you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in fasting, what do you say? I will fast qurbatan ilallah. Hajj is that vehicle that will take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in your intention, you are also saying qurbatan ilallah. In every single worship that you will perform, you would say qurbatan ilallah. Without the intention of qurbatan ilallah, your worship is nullified. You do wudu, qurbatan ilallah. If when you do wudu in your intention, it is that by putting water on my face will get cold, your wudu is batil. That by using this water, I will also clean my face, your wudu is batil. If you do wudu so you can show someone else that you are doing wudu, your wudu is batil. Batil means nullified. Batil means that it is not right. Batil means that you have to do wudu again. If you do wudu, if you pray salah with that wudu, you will not be able to. Your prayer is invalid. It's wrong. Yani, in your worship, you cannot mix anything. In your intention, you cannot mix anything. It has to be only to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any of your intentions have impurities, your worship is nullified. And on the day of judgment, the person who does riyah, the person who does worships other than for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be called a kafir, a mushrik, a khasir, a fasik. It is only in this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the honorary degree of Islam. It is only in this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this honorary degree to us, that when we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah, that we become a Muslim, that we have the honorary degree of a Muslim. Or if we are born in a Muslim family, we are given the honorary degree of a Muslim. But there are no honorary Muslims on the day of judgment. If you were really not the person who submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not call you a Muslim on that day. The person would either be called a kafir, a person would either be called a mushrik, a person would either be called someone who is in loss, a person would either be called a fasik or fajir, someone who commits the atrocities, sins of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly, or commits the greater sins. So qurbani means a vehicle that what? Takes you from A to B. We say that Imam Hussain Sattu Islam said, that Imam Hussain Sattu Islam sacrificed everything that he had in the battlefield of Karbala to save the Islam that was brought by 124,000 prophets, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, when you look towards Karbala, and you say, or when you are told that Hazrat Ali Asghar was a Qurbani, or when you were told in the Masail that Bibi Zainab alayha said that only Muhammad was the sacrifice, please accept my sacrifice. Now you understand that these sacrifices that Imam Hussain Sallallahu gave were actually those vehicles that was taking him closer and closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they also say in the battlefield of Karbala that after each martyrdom, there was a nur, there was a light that kept increasing on the face of Imam Hussain Sallallahu. And the kids and the family members of Imam Hussain became those vehicles to gain nearness to that status that no one ever would be able to achieve. That by giving those sacrifices, Imam Hussain achieved that level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no man would be able to achieve. That through those sacrifices, through those vehicles, he was able to get to that level of nearness of Allah. You see, if we do not understand our words properly that we use on day-to-day basis, then what happens is that anybody can come and use any word for us and try to make us believe that that is the way it is. The clip that was put on for you, instead of saying the ultimate and the most high sacrifice, the term used was suicide. Do you not see how much of a difference there is between the word suicide and sacrifice? Do you not see that it is like the sky and the earth? Do you not see that these are two separate words? Do you not see that by using one or the other would either take the level of Imam Hussain higher or lower? Suicide can be honorable or not. What is that? There is an honorable drinking. You can drink alcohol honorably, or can drink alcohol not honorably. You can murder someone honorably, or you can murder someone unhonorably. You can lie honorably, or you can lie unhonorably. Lying is haram. Drinking is haram. Killing an innocent life is haram. How can that be honored? Something which is haram, how can you classify it as honorable? If it was honorable, God would not have made it haram. Suicide is haram. It's forbidden. You cannot commit suicide. How can you say that committing haram can be honorable or not honorable? A train is coming. There's a doctor standing on the tracks. The mother sees that if I do not do something, my daughter will die. What does she do? She jumps in front of the train and pushes the daughter away. Would the newspapers have the headline, the mother committed an honorable suicide? Or would the newspapers would have the headlines that a mother sacrificed her life to save her daughters? Would she be honored about the act of sacrifice that she did? She would be honored. she would be told that she had so much love for her daughter that she gave her life to save her daughter. And she knew that by jumping in front of the train, it would be certain death. Yet she jumped in front of the train and saved the daughter. Imam Hussain Sadrusan saved Islam. He saw that in front of Islam there was a train coming. And this train was going to definitely finish Islam. And Imam Hussain Sadrusan, that had more than the love of a mother towards Islam, put himself in front of that train. Not himself, he put all of his family members, his friends, so that he can save that precious thing called Islam. And today we will say it was a suicide. To whom do we have to go and give our life? We have to give our life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will we be able to stand on the Day of Judgment in front of Bibi Fatima alayha, that we called the Honorable? This is where we have come to. Sacrifice and suicide. Every imam knew with certainty that they will be martyred. Imam Hassan al-Sattu Salaam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Knew for certainty that the poison that he is taking is the one that is going to martyr him. Imam Radha alayhi salatu wasalam knew the poison that he's taking is going to be martyred. Every single imam knew certainly, with certainty, that they are facing death. Yet they took that grave. With the logic that you are saying, you have not only defamed Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, honorable sacrifice, you've also defamed every single imam. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to defend. It is our responsibility to defend our imams. If there are things said, or there are enemies that want to martyr, we need to do. This is our responsibility to save. It was the responsibilities of the companions of every imam to save their lives. That responsibility exists today. But Allah SWT sees us not ready to be able to perform this responsibility. So that Imam of time is in the Ghaibat al-Kubra. He's in the major occultation. Shahadat is an honor for every Imam. This is the barasat, this is the inheritance of every Imam. It is our responsibility. It was mine, I tried it. And it is yours, you should try. Defend. The 313 are going to defend the life of Imam. The Shias, they should defend their Imam. If they do not, they have let go of their responsibility and they will be asked on the Day of Judgment. Hazrat Abbas sacrifice every single thing inside or outside that he had to protect Imam Hussain al-Salam. It was the last will of his father. Imam Ali, with that piece of cloth that was holding his head, with the gushing blood that was coming out when he came back from the Masjid of Kufa. And when Imam knew that he's going to die, he is going to leave his sons and his daughter. He's going to leave his friends and his family members. Imam Khalil al-Salam, he asked Imam Hassan and Hussein to come near him. May you be blessed to be able to be in the company of your father when he's passing away. There are many who do not get this opportunity. And those words that are uttered by your father, remember them for the rest of your life. Because those are the summary and the conclusion of all of their life experiences. And they wish and they want for their kids to be able to learn. Imam advised, gave his last will to Imam Hassan and Hussein, and in a corner was Hazrat Abbas. He was watching the Abu Mawla Hassan ko, Mawla Hussein ko, wasiyat kar rahe hain mere liye. He was watching that Imam is giving wasiyah, his last will, Imam Hassan and Hussein, but he's not talking to me. And he says, Mawla, is there no last will for me? Are you not going to give me any last will? Imam Ali says, why not? Of course. You know Imam Ali, he raised Hazrat Abbas for the event of Karbala. Do you know every time he went to the battle, of the battles that he fought, he trained Hazrat Abbas for the battlefield of Karbala. Imam Ali was training Hazrat Abbas for the faithfulness to his brother. But this faithfulness to his brother was not for his brother, it was towards Islam. Hazrat Abbas comes closer. Imam says, come a bit more closer. Mere bache, mere aur nazdeek aao. Imam Ali takes the hand of Imam Hussein and takes the hand of Hazrat Abbas and puts them together. He says, Abbas, my last will is that with you all of your life, support and protect. And Hazrat Abbas remembered the last will of his dying father in the battlefield of Karbala, and he was anxious. He was anxious to make sure that the will of his father, he kept coming to Imam Hussain. Imam Hussain, give me permission. Mawla, give me permission. I would like to go to the battlefield. Let me go, please. The bravery inside of Hazrat Abbas wanted him to go and sacrifice his life. He kept asking for permission. Imam Hussain kept saying, Abbas, you're the flag bearer of my army. If you are not there, what will happen to my army? Bibi Sakina, who all the kids knew that Hazrat Abbas' love for Bibi Sakina is immense. You know, kids are thirsty for 3 days. They have been asking for water, they haven't received water. छोटे छोटे बच्चे अपनी मशकीतों को लेके बीबी सकीना के इर्द गिर्द जमा होते हैं. They got together with बीबी सकीना and said, we need water. बीबी सकीना went to the Abbas and said, uncle, I'm really thirsty and so are these kids. Can you please get us some water? Hazrat Abbas got an idea. He said, if I was to go and say to Maula Hussein that I want to go and get water for these little kids, certainly he will give me permission. He knew how much Imam Hussein loved Bibi Sakina. He knew how much he loved his own daughter. Hazrat Abbas goes to Imam Hussein and says, Maula, if you're not going to allow me to go and fight, would you allow me to get some water for these kids? Imam Hussein said, okay, I give you permission. Okay, I give you permission, but don't take a sword. Take a spear. Hazrat Abbas rides towards Farat. In between all the enemies saw the son of Ali. He saw the bravery of Imam Ali. No one was able to stop him. Now try to imagine this thirsty, tired uncle who has reached the river and has the hope of being able to give water to his niece. Hazrat Abbas takes the water in his hands. No. How can I drink water when Imam Hussein is thirsty? How can I drink water when Sakina is thirsty? Because the water bag that Bibi Sakina had given him gets on his horse, starts going towards the camp. You've heard the brutality of this event so many times that for some odd reason your hearts have become numb. But try to imagine an uncle whose hopes are in that mashkiza riding towards the camp in his heart happiness, in his heart contentment, going and feels this pain in his right arm. What he feels that pain is, his arm is no longer there. And then the left arm. Imam Hussein, as in the boss's pain, that his feeling of the cut arms was nothing compared to the pain he felt on the hopes of Bibi Sakina, on the hopes of the kids. And what was that pain? That was the arrow that came and hit the mashkiza of Bibi Sakina. The arrow didn't just hit the mashkiza of Bibi Sakina, but it hit the hopes. The arrow was towards the hopes of the kids. It was towards the hopes of the uncle who wanted to give water. Hazrat Abbas falls from his horse. You know, when you fall, you try to protect your body by your head. When Hazrat Abbas fell from his horse, he did not have his arms to protect. It was the same fall which Bibi Zainab with tied hands when she was brought to the battlefield of Karbala, that she fell from the camel. It was the same fall. Only difference is that the boss's arms were not there. And Bibi Saidah's hands were tied. Hazrat Abbas falls, cries, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. My last salams be on you, my master." Now, Imam Hussein is running. As he's running, his back has a bend. He's going towards Hazrat Abbas as if his back is broken. As if his support is gone. He runs towards Hazrat Abbas. He sits down on the sand of Karbala. He takes the head of Hazrat Abbas in his lap. Jab Imam Hussain ne Hazrat Abbas ka sar apni god mein rakha, Hazrat Abbas ne apna sar hata liya. Hazrat Abbas, whose head was in the lap of Imam Hussain, he made sure that his head was not in his lap anymore. Imam Hussain again picked his head and put in his lap. Hazrat Abbas did the same thing. Imam Hussain asked Hazrat Abbas, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why don't you keep your head in my lap? Hazrat Abbas replied, "Mola, I can see you in the battlefield of Karbala lying there. There will be no one. There will be no one who will take your head in their lap." Hazrat Abbas, with one arrow stuck in his eye, the blood seeping into the other eye, says, "Mola, can you do me a favor? Mere Mola, can you do me a favor? Can you take some of this blood from my eye? Can you take this, some of the blood from my eye so I can see you?" Imam Hussain takes that blood away. Hazrat Abbas opens his eye, sees Imam Hussain. Imam Hussain's face has tears. These tears are falling on the face of Hazrat Abbas. These tears are falling on the face of Hazrat Abbas. Hazrat Abbas says, "Mawla, I also have a last will. Mawla, I also have a last will. Make sure that you do not take my body in the camp. My master, please don't take my body in the camp, because even though I am gone, still my dead body will not be able to face the Gina. I will not be able to face her." Sakina, who had realized that something was wrong as soon as the alam of Hazrat Abbas fell. Sakina, who started to say, "Hazrat Abbas, my uncle, please come back, I don't want water anymore. I will never ask for water anymore. Please come back." The Sakina is waiting for her uncle. She knows that something has gone wrong. Hazrat Abbas says, "Mawla, please don't lift my body. I know you're tired. I know everything is up for you to lift my body. Just leave me here. Just leave me here. Now listen to the request that Imam Hussain made." Imam Hussain said, "Abbas, all of your life, you've called me Mawla. All of your life, you've called me Master, 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 Master. Abbas, we've been raised in the same house. Abbas, we've been raised in the same house. Abbas, can you call me brother?" सारी जिंदगी मुझे मौला मौला का अब्बास, आज तो मुझे भाई कह दे। Abbas calls him, brother. As soon as the words brother come out from the lips of Hazrat Abbas, there were no breaths coming out of Hazrat Abbas. He had gone to meet his father. He had gone to meet Imam Ali so that he can go and say, Father, Father, Abu, aapne mujhe jis cheez ke liye, jis din ke liye bada kiya, of course the day that you raised me, Father, look at me.